On this Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to do something different today. I'm going to share from God's Word with you today, but I'm going to do it in a way that's different because a number of folks, several are going to come and share with me today by sharing some testimonies of some good things that God has done in their lives. And when our text is read today, you'll kind of to catch the significance of that, and I will walk you through it. But some folks are going to help me out. And Abigail is home from school, and it's always great to have her home. She's going to begin for us today just by reading Psalm 103. And after she reads that psalm, we're then going to pray together. And I want to invite you to come and read through that for us at this time. You can turn to it or follow along on the screen.
Hello, church.
Amen.
God is good. He's done great things in our lives, and he's so gracious. So I'm going to read a scripture about how good God is and how faithful he is in our lives. It's Psalm 103, so you can turn to that if you'd like. I will praise the Lord. Deep down inside me, I will praise him. I will praise him because his name is holy. I will praise the Lord. I won't forget anything he does for me. He forgives all my sins. He heals all my sicknesses. He saves my life from going down into the grave. His faithful and tender love makes me feel like a king. He satisfies me with the good things I desire. Then I feel young and strong again, just like an eagle. The Lord does what is right and fair for all who are treated badly. He told Moses all about his plans. He let the people of Israel see his mighty acts. The Lord is tender and kind. He is gracious. He won't keep bringing charges against us. He won't stay angry with us forever. He doesn't punish us for our sins as much as we should be punished. He doesn't pay us back in keeping with the evil things we've done. He loves those who have respect for him. His love is as high as the heavens are above the earth. He has removed our sins from us. He has removed them as far as the east is from the west. A father is tender and kind to his children. In the same way, the Lord is tender and kind to those who have respect for him. He knows what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust. The life of human beings is like grass. People grow like the flowers in the field. When the wind blows on them, they are gone. No one can tell that they had ever been there. But the Lord's love for those who have respect for him lasts forever and ever. Their children's children will know that he always does what is right. He always loves those who keep his covenant. He always does what is right for those who remember to obey his commands. The Lord has set up his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you angels of his. Praise him, you mighty ones who carry out his orders and obey his word. Praise the Lord, all you angels in heaven. Praise him, all you who serve him and do what he wants. Let everything the Lord has made praise him everywhere in his kingdom. I will praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Come on, somebody praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Man, I love that psalm. And what a declaration it is of just giving God praise for the things that he has done. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, our hearts are grateful. Lord God, Abigail read that psalm for us, our hearts, our lives, Lord God, so resonate with the truths of it and the declarations made. You haven't judged us according to our sins. You've been gracious and kind to us. You've been our healer. You've been our help. You've been ever present, Lord God. You've been all this, our all in all. Today, Lord God, we want to give you thanks and praise, Lord God, for the good things that you have done. And we thank you, Lord God, that you've been so good and so faithful to us. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Church, would you pray with me both here and at home? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy that keep following me. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, the psalmist declared, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Is there somebody in here who could say that goodness and mercy just keep following you? Amen? Goodness and mercy just keep on following me in my life. God is good. The Bible tells us that Jesus was walking along one day on his way to Jerusalem, and he was with his disciples, and on the way he approached a village while he was headed to Jerusalem, and on the outskirts of of that village, as Jesus was approaching it, there were 10 men outside the village, all who had leprosy. Now, if you've been around in church for a while, somewhere along the way you've heard that the reason they were outside of the village was because under Old Testament law, they were not allowed inside the village because they were unclean. And because they were unclean, they had to stay away from everyone else. Now, we recognize now, so many years removed, that folks were contagious and some of those laws were about protecting. Boy, if anybody could understand staying away from other people so that you don't pass your disease around, folks who live in 2020 ought to be able to relate. Hello, right? We're good at understanding that now. Fortunately, when you go to the giant, you don't have to walk down the chip aisle yelling, unclean, unclean. Just stay home if you test positive and go from there. But in this day, they had to stay away. And although they had to stay away, as Jesus approached this village, the Bible tells us in the 17th chapter of Luke that they began to call out in a loud voice to Jesus. They weren't allowed to walk up to him, so they called out. They shouted, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when Jesus saw them, he called back, and he called this back. It's amazing. He didn't go over and pray for them. He spoke a declaration of faith over them. He said this to them. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." Now, the reason Jesus said that was because in that day, in order for you to be declared whole or healed, a priest would have to declare that you were whole. A priest would have to, they would come in, they would examine you, and they would say, "Yep, you're well, you can go back into society." So although they still had leprosy, Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." The 10 of them went, and the Bible says that on their way to the temple, they were all cleansed, they were all healed. Their skin became clean. They were made whole. And when they did, we are told what happens next after they were healed in Luke chapter number 17, verses 15 through 19. I want to read it for you. Luke 17, 15 through 19 says this: "One of them, when he saw that he was healed," how many? One. "One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, 'Praise God!'" Somebody shout, "Praise God!" "Praise God!" "He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done." This man was a Samaritan, so we know that he was a foreigner. He wasn't of Israel. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Luke 17, 15 through 19. "Where are the other 9? Now, probably they ran home in enthusiasm, in all fairness to them. Maybe they ran to the priest first, because also in all fairness to them, that was what Jesus told them to do. He had said, "Go show yourself to the priest." But even after showing themselves to the priest, apparently they didn't come back. They must have just gone home and gone back to their lives. I'm sure they missed everyone. But this one was an example for us who came back to give thanks. The Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 to give thanks in all circumstances. Come on, all, amen? In all circumstances. So that means no matter what I'm going through, I'm still to have this gratitude within my heart to God for who he is, that he's with me in my life, and the things that God does. And although we're to give thanks in all circumstances, that doesn't change the uniqueness of this season as we just walked through Thanksgiving. God's people, many centuries ago, long before American Thanksgiving, they had many feasts that they would celebrate each year. And one of them was called the Feast of Tabernacles. And in the Feast of Tabernacles, there were some unique things about it. They would actually build these temporary shelters outside their homes where they would set up not modern tents you can't picture. They would build them out of sticks and put branches over them. And as a part of the Feast of Tabernacles, they would stay out in these little structures that they would build. And it was reminiscent of when they had been wanderers, when they had left Egypt, and they just had to live wandering. And it was a reminder to them of what God had done in their lives. What the Feast of Tabernacles really was it was a feast of thanksgiving. It was a chance for them to give thanks to God for what God had done in their lives and for them throughout time. When Abigail read Psalm 103 this morning, we were reminded to never forget the good things that God has done. Don't ever forget what God has done. Well, I know we could all share testimonies, and I prayed that this morning of the good things God has done for us in our lives, but I have a few folks who are going to come today, and they're going to share about some things that God has done for them, and nine are not going to come, although this is titled, Where Are the Other Nine? But a few are going to come, and I hope that as they give God thanks for something He's done in their lives, you'll give God thanks as well for what He has done in yours. We are going to kick things off first with my beautiful bride, Sarai, who will come and join me. And I want her to share about something that God has done. I think they want you to use this mic right here. Give her a round of applause. Come on, yeah.
Good morning. I remember a few years back when my husband and I were scheduled to go to Kenya. And I have had a herniated disc. A couple of years prior to that, we have been to Ghana. And the roads in Ghana were not necessarily the pavement that you see in here. So when I was there, a disc came out of my back. So it was really painful, and I knew I was going to Kenya where the roads were similar. And I was like, God, you have to do something in my back. This disc has come out four times already, and the doctors were speaking about surgery, and it's a difficult surgery, so I didn't want to go through it. But I was trusting in God. One Wednesday night, my husband, probably a month before the trip, my husband was speaking about teaching on Wednesday night about healing. And nothing big was happening that night. He was teaching. That's right. Yeah. But, yeah, he was teaching. But, you know, it's not like when we announce there's going to be a healing service and so-and-so is going to come. Nothing like that. He was just teaching. And I was sitting in the pew, and I was like, God, this trip is almost there, and I know I can't go with my back messed up. So at the end, he asked a few people to come to the front, and anybody who was in there that night, they could come forward and be prayed for healing. So I did. I went forward like I have done many times, but I was trusting God. I said, God, I have served you all my life, and I have seen miracles take place, and I know how you work. I know you could touch my back. So that day, I went forward, and they prayed for me, and the time of the trip came, and I realized, wait a second, I don't have any pain in my back. I'm going to go anyway, and I'm trusting you. I went to Africa. We went to the Maasai land, and we were going to preach there, and it was amazing to be part of and see what God is doing in there. And went there, came back, no pain, nothing. So that's the God that we serve, a God that is a healer.
Amen. 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 Drop that right there. I remember that well. And many of you could testify, Villain. Sarai, you'll remember with me as well the healings that God did on that trip when we were in Kenya. I remember a mother bringing a child to us who had never walked in his entire life. His legs were, it was almost frightening looking. They were just drawn up in these cramped looking positions tight to his body. And he had never walked, he had never stood. And we prayed for that child. And of course, I will never forget watching that child stretch his legs out and stand and begin to walk. And the reaction of his own family when they saw the miraculous healing power of God. And I've seen God heal, Sarai had. But I want to tell you right now, the times I've seen God heal, I'm just as awed and in wonder now as I ever would be the first time. I pray for that kid and he walks, and I'm the same way as him. What? And it's amazing, but our God is good. Amen? Come on, our God is good. Hey, we're the nine coming back to give thanks is who we are today. In Psalm 9, we read this, Psalm 9, 1 and 2. I think we have this verse for you. It says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. Somebody give God praise at home and in this room. Amen? Amen. Those verses there in Psalm 9 say, with all my heart. With all my heart. So giving thanks isn't just to be lip service. Sometimes when we give thanks, that's all it really is it's just lip service. I mean, I could be walking up to the CVS and somebody holds the door for me. And as I walk in, I think the CVS is an automatic door. Maybe that's not a good example. Work with me. It doesn't matter what door it is. Somebody holds the door for me. And as I walk in, what do I say as I walk by? Thank you. But it's not with all my heart. Come on. I'm not like getting down on my knees and like, oh, thank you so much for what you've done for me. No, it's with all the cordial politeness that my mother taught me I'm supposed to have when I'm in public is all that thank you is. But we come back to give thanks to God. How? Come on. With all our hearts. It comes from deep within us and who we are that we thank God for who He is and what He has done. It's coming back to bow down at the feet of Jesus in worship as that individual who had leprosy did. What a season this has been. 2020 has been a year unlike any other year, as we all know. And sadly, this year, there are so many who have lost their lives, and our hearts go out to them. I encourage you to continue to pray for those who have mourning, for God to comfort them, and those who've lost loved ones. But there's so many as well that God has seen through in so many miraculous ways in this season. And I want Katy Flores to come and join me at this time as well and share about her experience from just a couple of weeks ago. And she can use the same mic, and we're going to be really good today. Look at this. Because I don't trust my wife for a second to, no, I'm just kidding. You'll use the same microphone, Katy, as you come. And she's going to testify as well of the goodness of God. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Amen.
It feels great to be back.
Amen.
So I tested positive for COVID 3 weeks ago. And at first I was like, oh, this is nothing. I got this. I understand why Trump was in and out. Quickly, that changed for me. It was a Saturday. I took NyQuil and Tylenol since you can't take anything else. And I couldn't warm up. I was freezing and I started to shake. And I thought, okay, 2 hours. I even put worship music. And it got to the point where my body was in so much pain that I called my dad. And I told him, can you please pray for me? My dad comes. And after that, I honestly don't remember anything. What my family tells me is that I was screaming, I was crying, and I honestly thought that night I wasn't gonna make it. I'm so sorry. I will never forget the pain, the physical pain that I was going through, but at the same time, the anger that I had, because I took great care of myself. If you guys know me, I was paranoid with Corona. I wash my hands, wear my face mask, have my Clorox wipes, hand sanitizer, everything. And I still got sick. And I got to the point where instead of getting better, I was getting worse. Fevers every day, especially at night. And then they tell you that within the first 10 days, if you start to have any chest pains, any cough, shortness of breath, that you are considered severe. Well, exactly on day 10, I got chest pain, I got a cough, and it was hard for me to breathe at that point. Every breath I took was, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do my next breath. And that was scary to me, and it was scary that I couldn't even get up. I couldn't even bathe myself. My family had to literally take care of me like if I was a baby again. And one day, on a Wednesday at 1 o'clock p.m., I woke up because I was so frustrated, and I asked God, why did you choose me? And I started to put worship music on. If you guys have heard of Maverick City, definitely listen to them. And there's a song called Promises. I started to put that song on, and I started to pray, and I told God, I just need this to be you and me right now. My room got filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm speaking in tongues. At that moment, I'm not out of breath. My chest doesn't hurt. and I'm speaking to God, and I ask him, is there a reason why you're doing this? And all God tells me is, I am not finished with you. I have a purpose for you. And I hear God tell me, I'm doing this so I can show you that life is precious and you have been taking it for granted. And to show you that your family is there for you forever. And you need to take them for granted. And what I want to tell you guys is, Corona does not discriminate towards age, race, or anything. If it hits you, it hits you. There's nothing a doctor can do for you. All they tell you is to take Tylenol. After you get released from isolation, they tell you to make appointments with doctors. On Monday, I went and they told me that they found specks of white marks in my lungs and that I would have either heart problems in the future. I started praying because I was like, if God has a purpose for me, I cannot live in fear. I cannot walk in fear. I cannot be scared that I'm going to get sick again. So on Tuesday, I went to the specialist, and he told me those white marks are nothing. He said, if you were to have any symptoms, they would show up 3 months. And I told him, I'm not going to have anything. Amen. I'm already healed. I only have a few little lingering symptoms, which is I get out of breath. But from there on, I have life. Amen. And there's only one thing I remember from my dad praying for me every single day was Isaiah 41:10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with up in victorious right hand. God healed me. God showed me a new life. During my recovery, I take my recovery as being renewed by God. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. I wouldn't be able to take my next breath if it wasn't for God. And I tell every young person and any person, call your loved ones. Tell them you love them. If you have any animosity with them, forgive them. It's not worth it. It's honestly not worth it to be angry, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Kathy. You can drop that right there. Praise God. I want to pray right now in the middle before we're done, and believe God for that declaration you made of faith over your own life as well, for wholeness over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we agree together over Kati right now. Even as that specialist declared that what they saw was nothing, we believe, Lord God, that as she has declared for complete healing and wholeness over her body and in her life, when she returns even for that 3-month checkup, Lord God, we're trusting for a good report to come. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. We thank God for his healing power. In Psalm 89, we find this powerful declaration. Psalm 89, 1 and 2 says, I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Kathy just challenged us with that, with those who are young as well. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. Your unfailing love will last forever. Your faithfulness is as enduring as the heavens. Young and old will hear. Grandparents, I encourage you, make sure your grandchildren hear about what God has done in your life. Make sure the generations that follow you know what God has done in your life. Let everyone hear about God's faithfulness in your life. If you're young, remember to tell others about what God has done in your life. In fact, if you're young, tell those who are older what God has done in your life, that they'll see the hand of God continuing to move as well. Young and old need to hear of the faithfulness of God. We will encourage and build one another's faith. There's this passage in Joshua. It's in the second chapter of Joshua, verse number 10. It's always been this troubling passage to me. Joshua 2:10, it says this. And even before I read it, let me say this. Moses had died. He had led the children of Israel up out of Egypt, all the miraculous things that God did. Joshua now had become the leader of the people of Israel. And when Joshua was becoming the leader, Joshua 2:10 says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, that's a very nice way of saying that whole generation had died, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. how could that ever happen? How could it happen that another generation could grow up and not know what God had done? I mean, do you realize what God had done? How could a generation grow up and not know about coming out of Egypt? How could they not know about the parting of the sea and the miracles that had taken place? And yet somehow, just a couple of generations later, they had stopped testifying to one another about the good things that God had done. We don't want to make that mistake. Amen? We want to make sure we continue to testify of all that God has done, and that those who follow us will hear of the good things that he has done in our lives as well. So I want to invite Raul to come now at this time, Raul Duncan. He's going to come and testify of something that God did in his life as well. And we let him out of the drum cage for this special occasion. Normally we keep Raul locked in that box right there. Amen.
Good morning, church. All right, so I'm going to begin by referencing Psalms chapter 9, verse 10, and it says, "And those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who forsake who seek you." So my testimony is based on it was a time in our lives. We were married, and we fell on some hard times, so we had to move in with one of our family members. And I don't know about your family, but in my family, the space of time that you can live with them without friction is very short. So needless to say, that time had run out. So we started looking for some place to go. Everywhere we went, there was a no. All right? It's frustrating to hear no everywhere that you go. Right, as persons, we expect that when we want to do something or when we go somewhere, we're approved, right? We're approved by someone so that we can get what we need, so that we can accomplish what we need. So we went all over looking for some place to go. We finally found some place. Now, in our minds, we have a budget, right? God does not like us to put restrictions on him. We had a budget. So we're looking specific places. God said, go look here, go look there, out of our budget. God, we can't do this, we can't do that. Pastor always encourages us. He says to pray big, right? Don't put limits on God. He always says to pray big. So we had this one place. We secured this place at, we usually say the midnight hour. I'm going to get to the midnight hour. So before the midnight hour, at the 11 o'clock hour, the place that we were able to secure, they turned us down. He said, no, you can't do it, blah, 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 blah. In the midnight hour, my wife always reminds me how she was praying, like when she's on her way to work, how she would be crying out before God, make a way. I think one of the babies was due pretty soon. So at the midnight hour, God came through for us. Amen. What way beyond what we could afford, right? But I stand before you today and I testify that to this day, that the limit that we put on ourselves, that we couldn't afford to pay the rent or the mortgage where this place was that we went, to this day, God has provided for us miraculously. He's opened so many doors. So we ought not to ever, don't put any limits on God, right? So my testimony today is just to say, I heard a song this week and it says, keep your eyes open, live life with your eyes open. Not just your physical eyes, but also your spiritual eyes. Because God will come true for you in places that you least expect it. Thank you.
God, praise God. Amen. Man, Raul, as you're sharing that, I think of Acts 17, where the Bible says God appoints the boundaries of our dwelling places, that men may know him. Come on, you don't just live where you live because you got a good deal or something. You live there because God opened that door. Amen? Because God directed your path. Praise God. What a great testimony. God is good. And all the time, did you yell it at home? If you're at home, I trust you called it out as well. Amen. Man, I'm thankful for the salvation of God. Who's thankful for God's salvation? Amen. I'm thankful for healing. I'm thankful for the peace of God. I'm thankful that the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm thankful for the miraculous provision of God in my life. I'm thankful for divine direction and having my path ordered. I'm thankful for family and for friends. I'm thankful for God's word. Amen. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm thankful for the word of God. I'm thankful for the presence of God in my life. I'm thankful for pumpkin pie and coffee. Come on, somebody. Amen. Pumpkin pie and coffee is a good thing to give thanks for as well. I'm thankful for the love of God, the family of God, the body of Christ, the goodness of God. We read this declaration in Psalm 107. 107 says this: let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Has God been good to you? Amen. Amen. Has he been good to you? Man, what God's done for you at home, I want you to write it in online. Juliana, has God been good to you? Amen. I want you to come as well. And she's our last person to testify today. I want you to testify of what God did in your life. Let us hear that as well. And then we're going to sing of the goodness of God today. Amen. Praise God. You can use that one, sure. Yep.
My testimony is something that God was really placing on my heart. A particular word, and he just kept saying provision. My whole life is an entire testimony. God has been good in every single moment. But I do just want to start off just by reading Matthew 6, 25, verse 25 and 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? We heard many great testimonies this morning, but for me personally, sometimes I forget that God cares about us on the grand scheme of things, but he also takes care of us in even the smallest of details that we think, oh, it's just so small, it doesn't even matter. I'm not even going to pray on that, or, you know. My testimony is of this year, and it was something, I work in production, and basically I have pretty much been out of a job for the whole year because of coronavirus, but I had a lot of plans for this year, and one of them was, and it seemed so silly to me at the time, but God spoke to me a lot through it. It was to redecorate my room. I have had the same room since seventh grade, basically. Same furniture, same everything. And the minute that I realized, oh, I'm not going to be working, I really should be saving up, you know, I was a little bit disheartened, a little bit sad, you know. Like, I don't know if it's a girl thing, but I love decorating. I love, you know, interior design, all of that sort of stuff. So when I had to kind of stop, I was a little bit, you know, sad, but God really spoke to me, and he just said that even in the smallest things, even in the smallest things that make my heart happy, he wants to take care of me. And God is a healer. God provides for us, but he also wants to see us happy in even those smallest of details. He provided every single thing beyond what I had even envisioned in the plan that I wanted for my room, from like every single piece of furniture, and there was even extra, and he literally provided it all. People were either gifting it to me or things just went on crazy sales, and I was able to get exactly what I wanted, but better. And I just wanted to say this because I even was thinking, like, there's so many other testimonies I could say, but I just thought to say this because I feel like a lot of the times we just kind of forget that God cares about us in the smallest of details. And he owns silver and gold. Like, don't worry financially, because everything belongs to God. He is the owner of it all. And if he's your father, he wants to give you the best of everything in every single area. So if there's anything in your life that maybe you think is so small and not even worth, you know, praying over, just know that God cares about that too. God wants to give you the absolute best, just as a father would a child. So yeah, and God has been so, so good. And I actually want to invite the worship team to come up here so we can sing Goodness of God. And as we sing this, may you just sing it as a prayer. Sing it with your heart. And I want to actually invite the church to stand. Close your eyes, get into his presence, and just declare how good he is. And I know his presence is here. I can feel it. Amen.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, God has been good, amen? He's been good. Hey, where are the other nine today? When Jesus said, where are the other nine? Where are you? Come on, wave at me. Wave at me. Say, we're right here. We're right here. We've come back. Go ahead and with your own voice right now, I know you've been singing it, but lift up a word of thanksgiving to God right now. Just right where you are, just thank God for something He's done in your life. Right now, thank God for something He's done in your life. Pray it out to Him. Do it at home. Do it here. Let's be the other nine right now. Lord God, we thank You. You've been good. You've been faithful. You've been our healer. You've been our provider. You've taken care of big things. You've also cared for the smallest detail of our lives. You are good. We thank You. We give You praise, Lord God. Lord God, we just came back to give You thanks today, Lord. We came back like that one to say, we just want to thank You and worship You for all You've done in our lives, Lord God. I trust that our testimonies, our praise has been a sweet savor to You as we've come and bowed ourselves before You, Lord God. We know You'll continue to be faithful in our lives going forward as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. He's good. Amen. Amen. I want you to come back. You can lead us in this. She's going to continue to lead us in this event. You can tarry in the room and worship a little longer. And God bless you, those of you who are at home. Live victoriously in Christ Jesus. Keep giving thanks to Him. And those of you in this room, the ushers will help direct you out as you're ready to slip out. But I just want us to be able to sing this once more before we go. Amen. God bless you.